Welcome to the Brainstorm, episode 90. Today, in person, great to see you guys. We're going through and speedrunning the Mary Meeker AI Trends Report. 340 slides in 15 minutes. We'll see if we can do it. Pull up your Subway Surfer next to this because this is going to be fast-paced here. Biggest takeaway, maybe we just start there. The whole 340 slides to me is this is happening fast.
Very fast.
Any other takeaway?
And we kind of already knew that.
So is that the only trend? Are we done?
I mean, yes. And I will say up front, Mary Meeker's deck and Ben Evans' decks have been big inspirations for how ARK has gone about things. And yet these decks always seem to be like, hey, this is what's happened last year rather than this is what's going to happen. And so that's what we at ARK have done, is to say, hey, actually, let's put our neck on the line with some forecasts. Again, this is backward looking with some skewed data in it. But yes, things are happening fast.
All right. So let's go. First slide. Numbers. Charts paint 1,000 words. Agree.
Boom. Okay. Done.
This is true. Things are happening faster. We often make this point, right? You got 1,000 years from nothing to steam engines. And then since then, everything interacts with each other and goes faster and faster.
Yeah. And if you extend this chart even further back, you'll see it was like a flat line for 100,000 years or 400,000 years before that. And then if you do it that way, then it just like turns into a straight vertical, missile towards heaven.
Right. And I think the big question is like, why would it plateau now? A question everyone should ask themselves. Keep moving here. This one. This is a classic one here. ChatGPT gaining users at an unprecedented pace.
True. The chart on the left is wrong, but that's okay.
Go on.
Well, Sam Altman made a statement off the cuff about our users have doubled over the last couple of weeks, but he probably actually only meant engagement or number of tokens generated, because we have a read through on users using Sensor Tower and similar web, and their active users did not do this. So it's just wrong. Just trust me. But maybe on a tokens burn basis, they did, because everybody was giblifying the world.
It's true.
But regardless of the actual number, the adoption of ChatGPT and other applications faster than pretty much any other type of product on a consumer side.
Yes. Yes. With the caveat that I do think it's important that you like just look at people who are intentionally using AI separate from people who are like
on Instagram accidentally.
Yeah, yes. Like Meta says they have a billion AI users, but that's like a billion people who have been served like AI slop and they don't even know it. So I there is a distinction there.
Okay. These next three slides I want to call out. So AI in 2030, they use ChatGPT to give these answers. AI in 2035, they use ChatGPT to give these answers. You can pause the video to see what they say. But I think this is an important trend on a grander level, because you also have people with Grok saying, at Grok, is this true? And it's like, we're entering this phase, and we were just talking about the Ukraine attack. You know, some of these videos are fake, some are not. How do you know what actually happened? And it's like, the fact now is people are outsourcing their trust to these systems. And so it's like, at Grok, is this true? And it's like, whatever Grok says becomes semi-default internet land truth. And then it's like, what, you're going to fight with a supercomputer to prove that you're right? We're getting into an interesting territory in terms of validation.
Yeah, but I would trust it more to like validate things that have happened rather than saying what it's going to be able to do in 2030. And then why would you ask GPT-4o that question? It's like the weaker model. Like at least ask one of the thinking models to answer this question. I don't know. As in, like, you know, often, you know, a deep research report is good, except if you ask it to like do a forecast within the context of the deep research report. It's often bad unless given a lot of specific scaffolding on which to do it. So I think just assuming that, you know, the models will generate on a forward basis just the average of what people will say, I think. Mm.
All right. Next slide here is AI performance, increasingly realistic conversations simulating human behaviors. Turing test forever.
Yeah, we're past it. We're past the Turing test. Right. The Turing test is no longer a thing.
Exactly. But I think the reverse Turing test is going to become a thing, which is in terms of all education and everything like this, it's like the reason that oral exams don't scale is because you need a group of experts, right? This is why they do it for PhDs and things like that. You need a group of people who actually know to then test someone. Well, now you've got a computer that can give an oral exam to everyone. And so the future, I think, is the reverse Turing test, which is the computer tells the human whether or not you actually know what you say you know.
That makes sense. And I think you can distinguish like teaching, there's like teaching that's conveying information, then teaching that's actually assessing whether or not somebody knows information. I think generally, particularly the American education has been really weak at the assessment part. We create all these stupid tests that actually don't measure, you know, knowledge acquisition. And so I think that's the real promise in AI in education is like custom assessment.
Yep. AI getting very good at images, video, agree. Use Spotify, DJ, it's fun. Benefits and risks. Okay, AI user plus usage plus CapEx growth. I'm going to really go through fast here unless you've got something to say. It's up and to the right. It's fast, faster than before. Incumbents are there.
What page number are you on? You're
going fast. I'm going.
It's a true speed run.
Yes, true. All right. We're on page 84, 85.
Yes, people are using these things. I mean, generally, so what is you like Google search versus ChatGPT? What do you say is your like personal mix?
I think if you're trying to get to a link, you know, if you want, I give the example with travel, right? Like I would love to have a travel concierge and I feel like I use ChatGPT to find some of the activities I might want to do. But then I'll go to Google and type that activity in and then book through Google just to be able to get the link out of the Google search because I think ChatGPT is more text heavy.
Yeah.
So that's typically how I've split my...
Yeah, I experimented with doing like the search, the default search bar to... I did ChatGPT, I did Perplexity, but it's like it's such a different... I still rely on Google search for that specific thing, right?
Yeah.
And it's a specific narrow thing and I'm so used to doing it through the search bar, I still do it there. But it's like, it's just a, my mix of activity is way skewed towards the chatbots, but
and,
it still provides
And Google
function.
AI, it's interesting because Google AI fixed Google's problem, which was, it's like, okay, it used to be that Google's top link was great. And now it's like all ads. So you have to go to the second page to get something. And then what Google AI did is it just brings link 12 back above the ads. And so you're like, okay, that's fine.
Well, I think it also gives Google search now context, which you didn't have before. You had to actually read through into the link itself and look at like the subtext to understand why it was showing you what it was showing you. Now you have that AI overview that gives you a bit of the context, and then you can click into the sublinks that follow. So I do feel that the overall experience on Google has gotten better because of, you know, this AI addition. And I think, and we talked about it, I think last week or the week before, search when it comes to generative AI, I think it's now additive. As much as it might be cannibalistic to Google's business, it is also additive because I think people are searching for questions and queries they probably would not have searched for because they knew they wouldn't get the answer. Now they have the ability to ask anything and it's adding the amount of queries that we're seeing in a way that I don't know that I fully appreciated until I think Google gave the stat, you know, the queries that are happening on Gemini are 2 to 3 times longer in word length than what happens on Google.
But see, then it's an important distinction. People going specific to Gemini are going to it for the chatbot thing, right? And I totally believe that as in, like, I ask a longer question to ChatGPT than I do of Google. The reason I no longer had Google's the default or an AI bot as the default search bar is because I'm specifically typing in like 3 words because I want the Google search results.
Right.
Right. So it's like actually a different function and behavior. So I just don't know, like Google split out like AI answers as a separate little tab on its Google. I think because there really is like a different behavior there. And I don't know if I like the AI overviews
really
from Google.
Interesting.
Because I'm always like, it's always like a specific thing. Mm. It's like, I want Delta Airlines site. You know, I don't need a description of like, Delta Airlines is an airline, global airline. You know, I just want Delta Airlines.
And everything's moving so fast. It's like Perplexity comes out with like a niche finance thing. And it's like, wow, this is actually really good, better than ChatGPT. But everyone's jockeying for positions so quickly that it's like, it's hard to...
Well, you can't even keep pace with the amount of features and products being launched. I think she has a slide in here that shows the week of Google I.O. Like, it wasn't just Google that made, you know, 100 plus product announcement. Microsoft also released, and we had OpenAI acquiring I.O. And like the pace at which all of this is happening, we need a breather to be able to understand the true performance of what we're being given by these companies.
Right. Yeah. Well, we've got 5 minutes. So maybe we're going to split this into half or thirds. But here's like these, you just look at these numbers and it's crazy. 105,000 times decrease in energy required per LLM token. And this is since 2014. So, you know, these are numbers that you don't see thrown around all that often, even in the tech world. And so the cost declines here are rapid and they're happening faster than Moore's Law. If you look at the work that you and Frank have done on AI, number of AI developer repositories on GitHub, like huge jump after ChatGPT.
Speed run to 177.
All right.
I find this slide pretty interesting because I think the big question that everyone's asking is, you know, how does this monetize and where does the revenue come and how capital intensive this will be? And it's not necessarily intuitive that the more that you spend on CapEx, you know, the revenue will follow. I mean, this is total amount raised, but you know where the money is going. It's buying NVIDIA GPUs.
Interesting. So it's only a 10 times price to sales. Obviously, that's not right because these amounts were raised at various points in time.
No, they have go to the next slide so you can see.
Oh, here you go.
Yeah, the revenue multiple. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think one big structural shift that's happened is you've gone from throwing a ton of money into your training cluster where you're basically doing all of the money spending up front and then hoping people use it on the back end to actually, you know, doing it on training plus inference, where it's like deep research is a tool where they price it so it's, or we think they price it so it's profitable, and it's just using kind of inference, you know, so the money spent on compute is actually closer to an OpEx than it is like an upfront CapEx, mm-hmm. which makes it somewhat less risky in that you are matching your investment with like the customer demand to some degree. I think like, and I don't remember if it's in here, but a really notable thing that's happened on the monetization front is you can, you know, charge suddenly $200 a month is an acceptable price for these things, right? Like that's where Google is. That's where, because ChatGPT went there, and that's where Anthropic went. And now ChatGPT is like, oh, by the way, $2,000 a month is the new acceptable price point. And we'll see if like that sticks and people
continues
move up
to
market.
Stick.
Yeah.
The other thing, I skipped through a bunch of slides. I'm now on 303. But China moving very quickly, unlike the internet. It's like they are rapidly competing. Europe was a flat line in that chart. But US and China continuing to invest heavily and make good progress. We're going to wrap up here with this slide has been making the rounds, especially it's June. Tesla is going to launch the robotaxi, rumored June 12th. We'll see if that's accurate or not. But this is a slide showing physical world AI, fully autonomous vehicles, saying that Waymo, even with its relatively small fleet in the area where it operates, has already surpassed Lyft, and if the trend continues within the next 12 months, we'll do more rides than Uber. Brett, you're looking skeptical here.
No, I believe it, you know, subject to them putting the assets into the field, and it's definitely a superior product if you're willing to wait for the car to show up. And I think it's, in some ways, it's not, I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, obviously, like, or it's interesting that it's happening even though their price point is similar. Mm-hmm. You know, our view is like, what'll really drive it is you'll get it for like 2/3 the price, same availability, and no stupid driver behind the wheel. Then it'll totally, you know, it'll make these categories look like a joke.
Right. So it's like two things. Utilization of the car is interesting and much higher than a human choosing to drive it. Two, it's like this is happening at these prices. Imagine just a 50-cent discount on it, probably skyrockets there. Three, who's going to acquire Lyft? Open question. We'll see what happens. This was a good quick speed run here. Maybe we'll continue next week.
But four, and also even imagine if it's half the cost, like how often will you kind of like, my kid goes to school and he freaking forgets his backpack, drop him off at school. I'm like, where's your backpack? He's like, backpack? I'm like, this happens every day. You know, so, you know, he's kind of screwed at this point. But like being able to just like beckon a autonomous vehicle and throw the backpack in the back and mm-hmm. be like, drive this across town. You know, I think there's going to be like a surprising amount of demand creation by having this stuff be inexpensive and you don't have to deal with humans and you can just like, you know.
Yeah. Traffic, I think, will increase dramatically.
Will get very bad.
So peer-to-peer yes. delivery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Basically.
All right. This was fun. This was rapid. As Brett said.
I think that was a failed speed run. We got through like, I don't know, 1/10 of the slides, maybe.
Yeah, it was slow, but we'll continue on. Mary Meeker, thank you for putting this out as always. It was the original inspiration for ARC's big ideas. And yeah, if you spend 10 seconds per slide, that's an hour. So to actually fully grok everything, you need a day.
We tried. We tried our best.
We did it in 15 minutes. But I do think the takeaway is this is happening fast. It's unclear why this would plateau right now.
No, it's obvious that it won't plateau right now. That's the
I was saying it in the other way, but yes. Yeah.
There's, and yet I think that there will continue to be a media market for people claiming, one, that it's going to plateau, two, that it's going to cause the extinction of all of humanity, and three, that it's going to cause nobody to have jobs, all of which are false. But you could say that, you could make a career out of claiming all three of those things, that it's going to plateau and kill everybody and nobody's going to have a job.
I would click on each one of those articles.
Exactly.
So, every time.
There you go.
As they say, pessimists sound smart, optimists make money. So not investment advice, but lots of reasons to be optimistic.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
ARC Investment Management LLC is an SEC registered investment advisor. ARC and Public are unaffiliated entities and do not have a relationship with respect to either firm marketing or selling the products or services of the other. And therefore, ARC disclaims responsibility for any loss that may be incurred by Public's clients or customers. The information provided in this show is for informational purposes only and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision and is subject to change without notice. It does not constitute either explicitly or implicitly any provision of services or products by ARC. An investor should determine for themselves whether a particular investment management service is suitable for their investment needs. All statements made regarding companies or securities are strictly beliefs and points of view held by ARC and/or show guests and are not endorsements by ARC of any company or security or recommendations by ARC to buy, sell, or hold any security. Historical results are not indications of future results. Certain of the statements contained in the show may be statements of future expectations and other forward-looking statements that are based on ARC's current views and assumptions and involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results, performance, or events to differ materially from those expressed or implied in such statements. ARC assumes no obligation to update any forward-looking information. ARC and its clients, as well as its related persons, may, but do not necessarily, have financial interests in securities or issuers that are discussed. Certain information was obtained from sources that ARC believes to be reliable. However, ARC does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of any information obtained from any third party.